Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To our new listeners, welcome. To our old listeners, welcome back. Another episode of Magical Education awaits you, but first, we would like to say a few words.
Nitwit, blubber, oddment, tweak. Podcast 9¾'s topic of the week is House Identity, Gryffindor.
Hello, listeners. I'm Rhea.
And I'm Belle.
And I'm Jem, and this is my Gryffindor friend Belle, who's going to be our guest on the show today to talk about Gryffindor identity, because neither Rhea nor I are Gryffindors.
Hello.
How you feeling? Happy to be on the show? Or nervous? Or other emotions?
Yeah, I'm really nervous. I know the kind of reputation that Gryffindor has. Nah.
Oh, there's no Gryffindor bashing on here. We love you and we love Gryffindors for the most part. So.
Yeah, no. Jokes. It's cool to be here and spreading my knowledge. Yeah. First hand.
We're so happy to have you on here because you're one of our only fans. I think we got five fans, all of them family and friends. Yep. Thank you for coming. Yep.
And I'm number one.
Yes.
So something that I realized maybe 40 seconds before we started recording this podcast is that, Jem, your friend group consists of you, a Slytherin, your boyfriend, a Ravenclaw, and your two closest friends, a Hufflepuff and a Gryffindor.
Yes.
What's up with that?
I mean, I think it's just fate. We're just perfect. We're the perfect friend group.
Yeah. No, we brought that up last night as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Sometimes a family is four people, each from a different Gryffindor house.
Because we were making jokes about how we're the nuclear family because we're sitting around eating ice cream together. Sometimes a family is four people who aren't related by blood at all.
Maybe you literally are the founders reincarnated.
Oh my gosh.
I love that because that means that I eventually become a man somehow.
Yeah, no, me too.
Actually, no, wait, everyone's gender swapped except for Sarah.
Sarah's just, she can be both.
We should have asked, is there anything you want to plug? Because Sarah plugged in her episode, she plugged Tessa Thompson, dogs. I think she plugged Josh's podcast.
Oh, no, I'd like to do that too.
Those three things.
Those three things.
Josh is getting so
just Josh.
Off.
Yeah. Woo, Josh. Ooh, also, yeah. Dogs. Yeah.
Josh is good. He won an award recently, so everyone congratulate him.
Yeah. Good boy. Congratulations. That sounded really unenthusiastic, but that's because I've already congratulated him. Not in the podcast.
Speaking of congratulations, let's talk about Gryffindor House because they are the constant winners throughout the books.
Yes.
That's something to win. Give it to a Gryffindor. It's basically the whole book and movies.
That's the house motto. Like, it's like beyond measures, man's greatest treasure is like Ravenclaw. And then if there's something to win, give it to Gryffindor.
They deserve it.
They wanted it the most.
That's true.
Oh, should we do the vine thing where it's like,
yeah,
what are Gryffindor vines? This is something that we're trying out. When I think of a Gryffindor vine, I think of, it's hard to put it into words because it's very action based. It's one where there's a guy in the corner of a room holding a flamethrower or some kind of deodorant can with a lighter, and it's like, I don't know what you better stop, and they're just screaming because he's like, got this fire. Bitch, stop!
That's great.
Anything chaotic.
Yeah, anything chaotic, action based. There's one with like a guy driving a truck into the air and just goes, and you hear it crash.
Oh, that one, yeah. When he does that big jump behind the house.
Yeah, this was a good one. Do you think of me?
Not off the top of my head. I keep thinking about that one where they're going down the stairs on the railing.
Oh my God.
They're just sitting there and the girl just falls backwards.
Taylor don't fall or whatever it is. It's just...
I don't know, yeah. That's the one that just comes to mind.
Kevin, watch the light, dude.
Reckless things.
Oh, yeah, Kevin, watch the light. And he just smashes it. That's good. I had a couple of classic ones. I had, this bitch empty! Yeet!
Yeet! The energy.
I like how influential that was. And I am the sand guardian, guardian of the sand.
Oh, yeah.
The sand quivers before him.
Yeah. But my main pick was one that, like, I don't think it's as popular, but what there's, like, this just this angry guy, and he's like, what the fuck, Kyle? Step the fuck up. No, what did you say, dude?
Step the fuck up, Kyle. Yeah.
The dude to the beanie?
Yeah. What the fuck, Richard? When he throws the frisbee.
Into the highway, yeah.
Lots of anger and action in Gryffindor Vines. I love it.
Do we want to pick a definitive one? Because we kind of picked one for all the other houses.
Oh man, it's hard. I really like Yeet.
Yeet is good. It was highly influential in the culture as well, because now Yeet is a word.
Uh-huh. Has past tense yote. I love it.
Yitten.
Yitten.
I've never heard Yitten before. I like that.
I know. And so it would be Yitten.
So which is Yitten?
So which is Yitten to come?
Okay, it's decided. So that's all the four houses. Ravenclaw is there anything better than pussy? Yes, a really good book. Gryffindor is Yeet. What was Slytherin again?
Slytherin is I won't hesitate, bitch.
That's right. Hufflepuff is look at all those chickens, right?
I thought Hufflepuff was, I don't have enough money for chicken nuggets.
That one is good.
Or
too.
What about, wow, that hurt like a...
Oh, that hurt like a butt cheek on a stick. Mother trucker, dude.
I can never pick one thing.
The vine's great.
Vine is so good.
I'm probably going to make a compilation after this. Anyway.
Yes. So after the last episode, Jem sent me, I want to say, about 8,000 links to various vines.
It's a very Jem thing to do.
Yeah, all individual too, so it's like harder to watch.
So you just got to click on each one.
Yeah.
Each one's a journey.
I literally just, I didn't even open the Messenger app. I just texted you, what are you doing? And I didn't even look at any of them.
I had to store them somewhere.
Okay, let's get into the Gryffindor trait.
Yeah, let's get into the trait. I wrote down, like, the most dominant ones and then the least dominant ones, lesser dominant ones that I found as well.
More submissive ones.
More submissive ones.
What about the switch traits?
You're right. Rope bunny. Anyway, dominant house traits. Courage, bravery, determination, daring, nerve, chivalry, and reckless. These kind of seem like two concepts, but sort of in different words. But I like them. They got big dick energy, in my opinion.
they're all like, all of the Gryffindor traits are just fight me.
Fight.
Yeah. Or like protagonist.
Yeah, very much. Like protagonist and fight are the two sort of energies.
Yeah.
And then for lesser traits? Less dominant traits, I had like athleticism, ? Because that came up a lot. Short-tempered, heroic, self-righteous, arrogant, adventurous, loyal, well-rounded, stubborn, emotional, proud, and competitive.
That's a more well-rounded bunch of traits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Less one category.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I think out of all the houses, Gryffindor had the least amount of, like, dominant house traits that I could find in, like, a lot of the wikis and Pottermore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of mainly had, like, two things, like, which is courage and nerve and stuff like that, or determination. Mm, yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
I know, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, getting these traits, that'll just get it over the line. There we go. Protagonist.
But the house that has the most amount of main characters in it has, like, the least amount of attention to detail in terms of the traits.
I think there's reasons for that.
Oh, what are the reasons? Tell us the source.
Well, the source is just my own personal thoughts. We've kind of talked about it before, that because Slytherin House is, like, I feel like it's less rounded than the other houses. It's more like this is the house where all the heroes are. It's the hero of the story house. And so a lot of
Wait, are you talking about Gryffindor or Slytherin?
Gryffindor. Did I say Slytherin?
Yeah.
Sorry, that was a Freudian slip because I always want to talk about Slytherin. Gryffindor House is the hero house. A lot of the Gryffindor characters are in Gryffindor just because they're heroes, and really their personality traits are more inclined towards another house.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah, so them not giving too many traits means they can just, anyone can just plop into Gryffindor if they're a hero.
Yeah. Anyone who chooses to be brave, even if it's like just once throughout the books, they can sort of be plopped into Gryffindor house, which I think isn't really fair, because I think bravery is more than just making one choice every now and then. I think it's kind of like a it is a personality trait, someone who's brave.
More consistent than one choice here and there.
Not to say that bravery is just one thing and represents it in one way, because obviously not.
Yeah.
Bravery, like I said before, doesn't have to be loud. But yeah, I definitely think it's just not just like random acts of bravery. It has to be consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone can do a brave thing. Like Slughorn does a brave thing at the end of the seventh book when he comes back and rejoins the Battle of Hogwarts. But I wouldn't describe Slughorn as a brave character.
No. He's just a fucking neutral coward. Let me collect you.
But it leads to the theory that we've kind of talked about before and Jem has outright dismissed, that every character who's in Gryffindor house has to consciously choose to go into the house. What do you think about that, Belle?
I have thought of it as well. Like, what makes you end up going into Gryffindor? Because there's plenty of people who could be brave because of the various brave actions they've done. But... maybe the strongest act of bravery is the deciding to go into Gryffindor, but I don't know. I'm not too sure.
I can see it as like a contributing factor. Like if someone walks up to the hat and is like, I want to be in Gryffindor, like that's where I want to be. Then that would be a contributing factor, obviously.
Yeah.
Because then they're choosing to be brave and they're choosing to like put themselves out there. But I still see people that are like, oh, I don't know where I want to be. Just put me in Hufflepuff, like Neville.
They might be too afraid to actually think that they belong in Gryffindor. They're like, oh, no. But really, the hat sees deep down. Yes, you can.
Like, it's like how they say in Princess Diaries, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the acknowledgement that something is more important than fear.
More wise words from Princess Diaries.
Fucking love Princess Diaries. So those are my thoughts. anything else you want to say about the house traits? Do you have anything written down?
I basically had what you had. I think the only one that didn't go there was bald. Not bald.
They're all bald.
And then you've got comments made by other characters throughout it towards
Gryffindor. So like things like arrogant.
Yeah, arrogant.
Yeah.
Reckless, I think, is another one.
Yeah.
Pointless heroics and no regard for rules.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's some other negative trait.
I mean, I included house traits that were said by people that don't belong to the house because I still think that's valid. Because like if enough people are saying it, then it's probably true.
Yeah.
To some extent. Sometimes stereotypes are based in truth.
Despite how determined we are to say that Slytherin's, like, a trait of Slytherin house isn't evil, despite the fact that everyone in the book says that.
Nah,
rumors are true when they're about people other than us.
Well, I mean, people like, Slytherin characters do say, oh, you know, all Gryffindors are reckless, and yeah, that's a stereotype. But then when you look at Harry, Ron, Hermione...
There's definitely some recklessness in that, and there's definitely a disregard for rules. Like, we see them break the rules so many times because they believe that what they're doing is more important or more valid. And but usually they're grounded in some pretty strong morals and ethics.
Like, they're doing the right thing, they're doing it in risky ways.
They might not be the right thing by the rules, but it's the right thing by what they believe in.
Laws aren't always right. Is the moral here.
And the other thing is, like, they're just children, and that attitude is constantly reinforced by all of the influential adults in their lives, and they're like,
that is true,
you did the wrong thing, but have a big prize because it was kind of the right thing, despite what we said.
You did the wrong thing, but it was kind of hella cool. You're now Seeker of the Gryffindor Quidditch team.
You broke all the rules.
Basically, went back because he was dope on a broom.
Oh, another thing comes to mind in Chamber of Secrets when Ron and Fred and George take the car to go rescue Harry.
Yeah.
And they get back and Molly's mad, but then, nah, it's all right. Harry's here. They did the right thing. Here's a big breakfast.
Yeah. I think in the books, Molly made them do chores or something like that.
But maybe a bit more harsh,
Arthur was just like, had it go.
Yeah.
That was very bad, boys. Very bad indeed.
I love that interaction. So cute.
Arthur's so great. Like, as a father, his first reaction was not, you stole the car and, like, kidnapped a child. But it was like, oh yeah, that sounds like a sick adventure. How did it go?
Sounds fun. Secretly, yeah. I was a bit sad he wasn't there.
Fuck yeah, stick it to the old people.
Arthur's great. He's so lucky he has Molly. Imagine him trying to raise all the Weasleys without her.
Oh my God.
Oh goodness.
He'd just let them do everything. He'd be like, well, yeah, yeah, let's do that.
Fred and George would be the alphas of the house.
Percy's just in his corner, losing his mind.
Ripping out his hair. Man. Should we talk about some house symbolism of Gryffindor?
Yes.
We've got some dope house symbolism. It's
There's
really
a lot
cool.
There.
Yeah, I got over it. I get excited about symbolism. So, first of all.
Yep, that first one. What comes to mind straight up? Majesty.
Lions, yes. Lions are majestic, they're strong, they have courage, they are a symbol of justice. They're associated with the military and might, they're kingly and protective. They also represent diverse, they have a lot of diverse symbolism. Like in Christianity, they represent the power of Christ and the maw of Satan because of like the lions in the Colosseum or something like that. I don't know.
Sorry, I love that lion is big mouth Lucifer. That's excellent.
It's cool. I like that like there's kind of that link there with Slytherin House where it's like good and evil, both in one animal, which is cool.
Yeah.
In Greek myth, lions are associated with Hercules wrestling the supernatural lion. In this tale, lion represents death and a hellish beast of the underworld. They are presider over floods and fertility as well. They represent latent passions, the opposite of the eagle, which I put in there because I'm like, oh, it's the opposite of Ravenclaw, yeah, kind of, yeah. Or I don't know.
Kinda, yeah.
I guess they're the opposite of the evil because lions are seen as like the king of the jungle, so they're like the king of the land, and the eagle's seen as like the king of the skies, maybe, so I don't know.
I just think that reckless bravery is the exact opposite of wisdom.
I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lions represent ferocity, they're fiery, they're powerful. They represent passion and leadership and self-confidence. That seems pretty self-explanatory to me. Lions are really cool.
King of the beasts.
Yeah. Which is, I always find funny because we think of lions, but lionesses are really the more ferocious ones in the pack. Like the lions, they'll fight for dominance, but then they'll do nothing much else. Lionesses do all the work and are the glue of the pack and really vicious.
The hunting.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about lions?
I like their big hair.
Yeah.
It's got lots of secrets.
I like how when I think of lions in popular culture, I think of either Aslan and Narnia, who's like Jesus lion, or I think of Mufasa and like Simba and stuff from Lion King, where it's all very kingly and regal and stuff. Yeah,
Aslan's got that wiseness.
Yeah,
that wisdom. That wiseness, wisdom. Wisdomness. There was something I found about the symbolism of lions, them being, they're liminal animals, so they're crepuscular, which means they're active in dusk and dawn. So this adds to their magical and mystic nature, and they represent pure potential.
Ooh.
I thought that was an interesting take on lions that I hadn't heard before. But
pure potential.
That is true. They only come out with times in the in-between.
That's true. Yeah, I like that. So, it's like
fantastic.
In between that light and dark. And I like the phrase pure potential because it makes me think of like a sports coach talking to a lion. It's like, you got a kid, you got that pure potential.
Pure potential. I am quite a fan of pure potential.
I knew you would be.
It's potential is like the precursor to adventure. You can't have adventure without potential.
And you love the word pure, you use it in all your essays.
Oh, pure.
I love the idea of a liminal animal. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not set in stone. It can either be the great mother and protector of the lioness or big
Satan
lion, Satan more. Yeah, that one.
Big boy.
Big mouth Lucifer.
Yeah,
chuggers,
that one.
Chuggers, chuggers, chuggers.
And they've got strong ties with heraldry.
Yeah, like on a lot of banners and stuff.
Yeah.
Like so obviously the British line of colonialism, yuck. But lion beat the unicorn.
Kings like always that. Love putting a lion on there. Crest.
Yeah. I guess it's Gryffindor. it's a pretty cool animal to have on a crest. Like, it's that bitch. Like, it's the biggest animal.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, obviously, it's not the most ferocious animal. That'd be a shark. But if you have a shark on your banner, it's kind of like...
Crocodile.
Crocky boys. A stegosaurus.
Yeah. Straight in for the dinosaurs.
You brought out crocs.
Oh my god. I love the idea of like proper heraldry, but with just a big T-Rex on it.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone would have known what they were either back then. So like,
ahead of their time, truly.
Like, what is that animal?
What the fuck, Richard? Should we talk about red?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Red.
Scarlet.
Scarlet or maroon. Maroon's more brown.
Yeah.
But anyway, red, it represents extremes. It is the color of sex and passionate love. Seduction, violence, anger, danger, adventure. I feel like I'm doing a movie trailer.
Listing all my middle names.
Your middle name is long.
Lots of them.
It's fire and blood, it's energy, it's primal life forces. It's associated with superhuman heroism by the ancient Greeks. It's associated with luck in Asian, Chinese, Japanese, and Indian cultures. As well, that's why married women tend to wear red on their wedding day. Mm-hmm. It's a very popular color linguistically. And so, like, I think it's, like, one of the most popular colours in terms of favourite colours around the world. It's, like, red and blue and green are the three tops. And I think red is the most popular favourite colour.
Wow.
That's cool.
And in flags, like, flags of the world, it is in 77% of flags.
It's in all the flags.
Yeah, it's in all the flags.
It's also in a lot of communist flags. Communism colour. That unites.
Yeah.
This is going to sound insane, but sorry, genuinely, before this episode started, I'm like, I wonder if communism will come up in the Gryffindor.
No way, really?
Yeah. Because I was thinking about my Gryffindor friends. Jem, you know what's up.
Oh, God, yeah. I'll tell you that later. Yeah. So
we'll get to that later.
I like that red is described instantly as a colour of extremes, because it's either like when you think of red cars, you think fast, but then you also think of red in terms of traffic and cars and you think stop. Because it's like red light.
I guess it's the one that just really grabs your attention.
It is.
You notice red.
Yeah, and I'm noticing red right now all over my
And it also,
books.
I think, I don't know if I wrote it down, but I just feel like I know this. Red is one of the colours that invokes the most emotional response from people when they see it.
Yeah.
It can be it's a very emotional colour. It's either angry or love or passion. Yeah. And it's blood. It's the color of blood.
I've heard, like, you should never paint a room red because you'll constantly be angry when you're in the room. Like, and that comes up in horror a lot, like the red room and stuff like that.
And in 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, God.
The red room.
Yeah. I'm thinking of, like, the Gryffindor common room and everything in there is red drapes and red wallpaper and stuff.
Oh, it does have red in it. God. It's a soft red, though.
It is,
It's weird. It's like, I'm looking at that red on your shelf and it's bright red. It's lot more stronger, but the one in the Gryffindor common room,
it's more like a hunting lodge sort of red. It's like cozy.
It is cozy.
The Gryffindor room is always described as really cozy, but when I think about all of the different house common rooms, it's the one that sounds the least appealing to me because I feel like I would just have a headache. Everything's so red. All the chairs are red, the walls are red, the carpet's red, there's a big fire all the time. Like, let me go back to the dark hole in the dungeon.
The house common room that I think sounds most cozy to me would be Hufflepuff, because it's, like, spread out, it's airy, even though it's underground somehow. Like, I don't know.
It's got lots of plants and stuff.
Yeah, I like Gryffindor, though. I think, in reality, Gryffindor common room is very cozy, but the way it's described with all the red does put me a bit on edge.
Yeah. just when I picture them, it feels like it's very loud and clashy in my head. Like, when I'm picturing all the rooms lined up against each other... Like, Ravenclaw seems really chill, Hufflepuff seems really cozy, Gryffindor is very dark and cool.
Slytherin.
And Gryffindor's just, like, very... Sorry. I keep confusing Slytherin and Gryffindor. God. Slytherin's very dark and cool. And Gryffindor's just loud and hot and angry.
It is always described, like, Gryffindor common room in the books, it's always, like, it never gets quiet until, like, after midnight, because all the students are up fucking pulling pranks at each other and having loud convos and stuff like that. So if you want to study in the Gryffindor common room, it's like, you just can't. Unless you're Hermione and you can block everything out. But, like...
Yeah,
that would bother me, I think. Because it's a tower one, too, so it's smaller, like Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
It's tighter knit.
I guess this is like an extrovert's dream, an introvert's nightmare. It's just this small room of excitement and fun and loudness.
It's also super annoying if you're a Gryffindor, because it's established, like, from the very first book that Harry, Ron and Hermione have claimed the three armchairs closest to the fire. Like, how did you get this prime spot?
As 11-year-old.
What the fuck is this?
Like, how many chairs are there in there?
5.
I cannot imagine being a 17-year-old person and having, like, this little 11-year-old sitting in my chair by the fire that I've been sitting in for years and just not, like, picking them up by their hair and moving them.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah, that's another great inaccuracy.
These children are reckless.
Dauntless. Gold is the second colour of Gryffindor. It is for extravagance, wealth, riches, excessiveness. It's bright, cheerful. It's also associated with somberness for some reason.
That's weird.
Gold is for illumination, love, compassion, courage, passion, magic, wisdom, success, prosperity. It illuminates the path towards your goal, is what I found for gold.
God, those are also Gryffindor.
Except for wisdom, apparently.
Even I wrote down... It can mean strength and wealth.
Mm.
Strength. I love, like, success, red and gold are such strong... But, like, red and yellow is used a lot in advertising, like Macca's and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're yum colours. Yeah. They make me think of food. Ketchup. Mm. Ketchup.
I read on the HP Wiki that the scarlet and gold is also supposed to represent the body of the lion, like the red of the mane and the gold of the fur.
Yeah.
That's sick as well.
Mm. Yeah, that all ties in.
Yeah. I also think it's notable that gold is for first place and Gryffindor is first place.
That's what I was thinking when it was brought up in the other one. I was like, oh, gold, Gryffindor, first place. But then I was like, oh, no, gosh, don't switch it around.
Switch that around.
Last place.
Last place.
Last place. It's opposite day.
Oh, Josh. One day I'll understand what he meant by that.
His mind. I just like that, like, gold is funny for me on a personal level because I'm allergic to the nickel and gold, so I can't wear gold jewelry.
So it's just that's like, big Slytherin energy.
No majesty and strength for you.
No. Got anything else to say about gold, either of you?
It's an earthy element.
Oh.
So in China, gold and yellow represents the earth element. So
that makes sense.
It does make sense. I know often Gryffindor is tied in with fire and passion, but it's also kind of an earthly one with their strength and stubbornness.
Yeah.
And see, earth's unmoving.
Its second element would definitely be earth.
Yeah.
Like if I was going to choose one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
I don't have anything to say about the colours, aside from just... Once again, I'm blown away by how well every single house colour represents every single house, except for the black for Hufflepuff, which just didn't make any sense at all.
Aesthetics. Bumblebees. Yeah. It works on that level.
But I do have something about the etymology of the word Gryffindor, which isn't something we've looked at so far.
Okay.
But I saw this on the HP Wiki and I just had to bring it up because it's great. Okay. Gryffindor could possibly be derived from Griffin.
Oh, really?
No way.
Yeah. Which is a creature in mythology with the body of a lion, the head of an eagle. That's interesting.
Oh.
Yeah.
And in Old English and Old High German. Sorry, it's hard to get through this. In Old English and Old High German, door means gate or door.
Is that seriously? Someone wrote that down?
Yeah, that's amazing.
I love
so
it.
Gryffindor, the word, is like a griffin door. I just lost my shit when I saw that.
I think also I read somewhere that door can mean gift, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
In French?
Like Dorian, the name means gift.
So it was like gift of the lion, gift of the griffin. I don't know. But the interesting thing about also about Griffin being a lion and eagle is it saying that the lion was the opposite to the eagle.
Yeah.
So it's just like, put them both together.
Yeah. Well, what mythology is Griffin from? Is that from Greek or maybe it's from English? With
Yeah, I don't know either.
Because if it's a chimera, then that would make sense because it's like, get some bits of animals put them together.
All I wrote down was it came about in the Middle Ages.
Hmm.
And that, and another thing, the Griffin mates for life. If either partner died, the other would continue the rest of life alone, never to search for a new mate.
Oh, jeez.
Cool.
Didn't expect to get sacked.
Yeah. Also just talked about the amalgamation of courage and boldness because of the lion and the eagle.
Oh, nice. I like that. Yeah, I suppose eagles are pretty bold. Bold eagle. Jokes.
That's a good one.
A griffin's another one that you see on heraldry a lot.
Yeah.
Associated with heroism and stuff.
Well, griffins are allowed in heraldry, but apparently dinosaurs ain't.
Look, I don't make the rules.
Yeah, just everything about houses is so symbolic. Just break it down. Griffin, lions, red, gold.
And fire.
And door. The potential again.
Open that door.
Adventure.
Oh, that's right. Liminal space.
Oh, fire is the last symbolic thing. It's the element associated with Gryffindor. Fire, there's loads of stuff in fire. It's one of those dual sort of elements where it's like two things at once again. So
yeah,
fire consumes, it warms, it illuminates, it represents destruction and life, energy, pain, death, hell, inspiration, bridges the connection between mortals and gods. So that's like the myth of Prometheus bringing fire to the humans, and the gods being like, ugh, and then putting him underground with the crow pecking in his eye or something forever.
No, he gets tied to a rock and an eagle tears out his liver every day.
Oh, nice. Do you reckon they'd have, like, some kind of bond after a while? Gonna get some kind of rapport?
Yeah, you're here to take my liver again?
Ha! He's so good at what you do.
Isn't it sad when your only friend is the eagle who visits you every day to tear out your liver?
I've come to deliver.
Deliver. I like that.
This is your deliverance.
This eagle's a jerk.
Opposite of eagles, man. Fire is associated with birth. If you know about Frankenstein, Mary Shelley had like the image of the spark of life bringing the Frankenstein's monster to life. And that would be like the lightning hitting it, and then it's like the spark of life. But if you know a bit more about Mary Shelley's life, she unfortunately suffered a lot of stillbirths, and she had this dream where she had her like her dead baby in her hands, and she put it into the fire, and it woke up and started crying like it was alive. Wow. And that inspired her for the story of Frankenstein. Women created everything you love. The end.
Yeah, fire does have strong ties with rebirthing.
Yeah,
especially
very strong. Phoenix and
here
stuff.
In Australia.
Oh yeah, and Banksia trees and stuff. Yeah,
eucalyptus trees, and they need to
burn
to
propagate.
Yeah,
to live again.
Yeah,
yeah, they need to be destroyed to open their seeds and yeah.
That's cool. So,
we literally have phoenix trees in Australia. That's nuts. This country is ridiculous.
Fire is the element of spiritual enlightenment, of sexuality, fertility. Purification is the element of wisdom, knowledge, power, control, divinity, and anger.
Very passionate element.
It's so strong.
So strong.
Powerful.
It's definitely the most passionate element. It suits Gryffindor.
Any thoughts about fire?
Hot. Keeps you warm.
She keep me warm.
Or it burns you if you get too close.
If you're going to play with fire, then you're going to get burned.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
If you play with the Gryffindors, they hurt you.
I feel like Harry spends a lot of his journey playing with fire, like meddling in things that are just too much for him. He is but a child.
A child.
It's like this 11-year-old child. It's like, time to mess with things. Save Voldemort.
Yeah.
I don't care.
He's hard to control, like fire.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, I like it.
Except when Slytherins come and put their water on him.
They are a wet blanket.
But when you get Slytherins and Gryffindor together, things get pretty steamy.
Ooh. Oh, like a sauna. I get the jokes.
There's too many puns in this fucking episode.
Puns are good Gryffindor humor, definitely. Because they frustrate everyone else, unless the person who likes puns.
It's good. It's got that. It'll annoy you, but I'm not actually doing anything to annoy you. I'm just speaking.
Good energy. And puns are usually wholesome humor. Like they're not, like hurting anyone for the most part.
Puns to me feel like the verbal equivalent of when you're like a big sibling and you've got your little sibling and you put your hands like an inch away. No, not an inch. Like a millimeter away from them. You're like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
Oh, I hate this episode because I'm on it with two older siblings. Yes.
Elders unite. There's so many ways to antagonize without, you know, leaving. Wow, that sounds so bad, leaving a mark. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
Without leaving that's evidence for the parents to see.
Emotional abuse. Yeah, well, once the parents find out, it's all over. That sounds so bad. Let's move along.
No, anyone with siblings knows exactly what you mean. Like, it's It's fucking, it's Darwinism. That's what growing up a sibling
yeah,
is
I
like.
Need to, the older sibling is just preparing their younger siblings for life. They're just making you stronger.
It's all tough right. love.
We want our siblings to survive. Conditioning you.
How can you recognize a Gryffindor? Older sibling energy, that's it.
That's true. I think every older sibling has a little bit of Gryffindor in them.
Definitely. Older siblings who aren't Gryffindors are too powerful. I wrote down some stuff. I'm just going to read through it and you guys can tell me off or not. Gryffindors are usually quite extroverted, but not always. I just think that that's... Mm. Extroversion is probably strongly associated with Gryffindor out of any of the houses.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence in crowds.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote this down because I was thinking about some of my friends who aren't Gryffindors who hate being in crowds or who hate doing public speaking in front of people. Whereas I think Gryffindors, even if they're nervous about public speaking, usually look pretty confident when they're talking in front of others and have, like, a sort of positive energy when they're in, like, a group, big group of people.
That seems Gryffindor to me. I had willing to be the leader in any group. Like, it doesn't matter what the activity is, what we're doing.
Mm.
If there's not an established leader, the Gryffindor in the group will step up.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it's not, like, explicitly said, they'll just sort of take over in terms of, like...
This is making me think of all my group projects at uni. I'm like,
We should do it this way.
Let's do it this way.
I have a good idea, and here's all the reasons why it's a good idea.
Not even that. It's not even leader as in, we're going to do it my way. It's as in, there's no control to this group right now. We're just kind of chatting. Let's get it on in one direction.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's, I don't know. Let's allocate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giving a direction. It doesn't always have to be like a negative sort of thing. Like, I'm taking control and I'm in charge right now. I was more thinking of, I did like a sort of adventure program thing when I was in high school. That's a bad way of describing it. But we had to go on this big hike.
Yeah.
And we got split into groups and we had to do this big hike. And what inevitably happened is that there were a couple of people who sort of rotated being the leader of the group and being like the, come on, guys, I know we're tired and we're exhausted, but we're going to keep going and blah, blah, blah. And they were all Gryffindors.
That's you. Belle is such a motivator. She's motivated me my entire life. Oh, my God. So here's a story, listeners. Was it like 2 months ago, maybe? Oh, it was during the middle of summer.
It was in summer, so it was probably like
February?
4 months ago.
God, time flies. Mm. Anyway, it was like February, middle of summer, and Belle messages me like in the morning. It's like, hey, I'm going to go for a walk. Who wants to come? Like, I feel a bit active that day. I wanted to get out. I'm like, yeah, sure, let's go for a walk. I thought that she was just meaning like a little bush walk, maybe like 30 to 40 minutes in the shade.
Flat, you know.
Flat sort of ground. No, we walked around an entire reservoir. Not just in the shade, in the heat. We had to go uphill. I was wearing, like, fucking denim shorts. It wasn't a good time. We ran out of water in the first 40 minutes.
It was, like, 15 kilometres.
It was 15 kilometres. It took us, like, 4 hours. It was so... I wanted to die.
It was so... And we didn't really know where we were going either. I was like, I think this way.
Yeah.
That's right. But,
like, we got out in the van, but we had a moment where we were like, oh, my God, no one really knows, like, where we are.
We never actually said where we were going today.
If we die out here, like, we're fucked.
Yeah, there was no water and we're having to go up a hill. And Sam was like, oh.
That's how you fucking get 127 hours, you idiots.
Jen was like, my asthma. And I was like, no, you come on, you can do it. She's like, I thought you were saying it was just a shot.
I think I yelled that I hated you at some point. I'm so sorry.
He was so mad. And in my head, I was like, oops. But I was also like, this is good. This is good. She can do this. And I also wanted to die. It was pretty bad.
But you were the positive one throughout it. We finally got to civilization again, and we found a bubbler at like a bus stop and like guzzled it.
Yeah, you
minutes.
Were so happy too.
I've
like,
never been so
you're
happy.
Like, oh my God, that was amazing. Let's do that again. Kind of stuff.
I wouldn't have been able to get through it if you weren't there. If I'd been there with any of my other friends, like Sarah or Josh, we would have like called for a helicopter or something halfway through. Can't do it.
We need an Uber out to the middle of the fucking reservoir.
Thanks.
Some other Gryffindor traits I had written down. They express their emotions physically, so with hand gestures, facial expressions, and using objects. If a Gryffindor's angry, you know it from the way that they pack their school bag, or from the way that they, like, walk out of a room, or from the way they put down their plate, or something like that. You can tell.
Yes. When someone's angry in the other room and you can tell that person's a Gryffindor.
Or when they're happy on a lighter note, you can tell from the way that they're sort of like so cheerful, bouncing with energy, dancing around the room.
Screaming.
Yeah. Another Gryffindor thing. I am calm! Yeah.
Don't tell a Gryffindor. Don't tell a Gryffindor to calm down. It just makes them madder.
I don't need any calming tea.
Laughing, huge Gryffindor thing. They have strong opinions and voice them a lot. They're very stubborn. I like this one. If Gryffindors are watching any sort of high action movie or show, like The Hunger Games or an apocalypse survival story, like Mad Max or something, they're like, yeah, I'd be able to do that. I'd be able to survive that.
Yes, okay. I fucking had this. If you've ever met someone who's like, I'd survive a zombie apocalypse, but they have absolutely no survival skills, that's a Gryffindor. Like, when's the last time you fucking lit a fire? Or do you have, like, a bug-out bag in your apartment? And they're like, no. But they're confident that they'd be, like, the people in The Walking Dead.
Or they're watching a show like Walking Dead and someone's trying to do something to survive or escape. And they're like, no, do this. Like, run that way. Like, run in zigzag. Like, I love it. Val just pointed to my next dot point because she can see it. And it says, energy underlined leg bounce. And she's literally doing that right now.
You've trademarked it. You've written TM next to it. Is that what you've written?
Yeah.
God, I'm not thinking if I'm not leg bouncing.
Oh my god, that's also my Gryffindor friend. She does that as well.
Yeah.
The constant leg bouncing and the smacking you with her hand to get your attention.
Oi, oi.
Oi, oi.
Yeah, hey. Hey, pay attention to me. That's her.
They stand up against bullshit and have a positive outlook on life, is what I wrote down for.
Yeah.
They are, do no harm unless you've taken shit, then do harm, I think, is a Gryffindor sort of motto.
I see that,
yeah.
Yeah.
Don't want any trouble, but if you're the one causing it, there's going to be trouble.
Fool me once and I'll fucking end you. That's a Gryffindor.
I don't know about my haters, but if you want to fight me, then fight me.
I had Gryffindors are big loud in terms of like expressing their opinions, ranting about stuff, and also like getting excited, and especially when it relates to sports. Big loud sports boys and girls. That's Gryffindor.
Yeah, actually, out of all my friends, you're the only sort of athletic one. Like, you have a sports background.
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
Oh, I was sitting here, I was like, I'm not that sporty. And I was like, actually, I've done heaps of sports.
You did nippers, right?
And soccer. Yeah, soccer? Surf, life saving.
Loads of stuff.
Athletics.
You do netball now, don't you? Or is
sometimes.
It volleyball?
No, netball, yeah. I play with my paramedic society.
Gryffindor energy. I play netball with my life-saving friends.
I play sport with my life-saving team. Oh, it's so good that we got guests on these episodes. I would never think to say something so Gryffindor. I play sport with my friends who save lives for a living. Good God.
Jocks, I love them. Yeah, did we have anything else you want to say? Do you have any notes on that?
I didn't write anything, but usually just recognizing them, you're just going to notice them because they're loud.
They're hard not to recognize.
Or they'll get up in your face, kind of, and introduce themselves.
Yeah. Gryffindors are good people for the most part. They're like, they're good eggs.
Yeah. Gryffindors will never back down from a dare or a challenge, and they think that the rules don't apply to them. Those are some pretty obvious Gryffindor traits. Let's go into notable Gryffindors.
Yeah, how they represent in the books and movies. Notable Gryffindors. Let's go.
Yeah, I did a list of notable Gryffindors, and I put a lot of them in a big group because there's too many. So, Harry, Hermione, and Ron, all the Weasleys, all the Marauders and Lily Potter.
Yep.
Dumbledore, Hagrid, McGonagall.
Yeah.
The Gryffindor Quidditch team.
Yeah.
That's all of them throughout the years because there's too many. Neville Longbottom, Dean and Seamus, Lavender and Pavati, Colin and Dennis Creevy, and then Sir Cadogan, Celestina Warbeck, who's just a background character, and from the Hogwarts Mystery Games, Ben, Rakepick Jay, and Gryffindor boy who struggles with the levitation charm.
Levi Osa, who's Doggan?
My head canon is that he's Billingsley.
Who the fuck's Doggan?
Sir Cadogan.
Yeah.
Did I just say Doggan?
No, you said Sir Cadogan, but I forgot.
Meant Sir...
Sir Cadogan! Oh, God!
Oh, yeah. You thought it was like...
What the fuck?
Right, Sir Cadogan. Okay. Thought I was saying Sir Cad Doggan?
Yeah, I thought you were saying Sir Cadogan.
Yeah, that's what I thought you
said. Like, first
too.
Name Sir Cad, last name Doggan.
Sir
But yeah, it's because I've always
Who's this fucking
Cadogan?
Cadogan. Yeah, I've always thought Cadogan too. I'm pretty sure you read Cadogan. It to me as Cadogan.
Okay, I've always said Cadogan.
Cadogan. Maybe, who knows?
Yeah. Okay, well, I've changed. Times change, damn, you gotta keep up.
Well, yeah, I mean, the only sort of bad Gryffindor that I could think of was Peter Pettigrew. Otherwise, they're all basically heroes, you know, guys trying to do good, you know, sporty, reckless.
Give us some
diversity.
Diversity.
I kind of put Jay in with Jay Kim from Hogwarts Mystery Game. I kind of put him in with the bad Gryffindors as well. He's just, for anyone who's not playing that game.
Yeah, he tried to sell a love potion.
Yeah, he runs a like a black market business selling banned items at Hogwarts. And he's always in detention. And he gets a bit of a rapey vibe later on when he sells love potions to people. And he's like, I don't want to know how you use it. I've just sold it to you and I'm not responsible. And then he leaves. Like, okay, who's this guy?
Wow.
Yeah.
What's weird about, like, our interactions as the main character with Jay. The main character interacts with all their friends and they're like encouraging them like, oh yeah, you can be a potioner, you can be a magizoologist. And then with Jay, it's like, you can be a criminal. Like, that's what he wants to be. We're always encouraging him to take over Nocturne Alley and like get rich quick. That's what we want him to do. It's so weird.
It is bizarre. Like, yeah, you could rule the underworld. Come on, Jay. Start your own gang.
So fucking weird. Yeah, I wrote down about Gryffindors that they can be too much of a bit of, like, too much of a mixed bag. Like we said before, like, sometimes people are sort of lumped into Gryffindor for plot convenience, I think, where we talked about before, like, Percy, Fred and George, they're not really Gryffindors, but they're just put in there because it's easier.
Yeah, all the Weasleys are Gryffindors.
What do you think, though? Have you got any ideas about Gryffindors in the books, movies?
No, yeah, I agree that some people are just lumped in there because they... It just works. Yeah, it's like, well, just... Weasley's a Gryffindor. So you can go in there too.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was funny is the house ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Headless Nick being the house ghost for Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Because I was reading this thing, it's like, 45 chops to take his noggin off. So that's just, it's perseverance and stubbornness right there.
It's a stubborn neck.
He just is this symbol of strength. But a weird kind of strength.
45, Jesus. How many bullets did it take to take down Ned Kelly? It was like 17 or something like that. It's the same energy.
Wow. Yeah.
Just, I don't know.
Ned Kelly, Gryffindor. For anyone who doesn't know Ned Kelly, he was a bush ranger and a criminal in like colonial Australia. He wore like a set of tin armor that he made himself and like robbed people. He's just a bad guy. But nice. For some reason we love him.
Australian Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Nick Kelly was a hero, as they say.
Yeah.
He's a criminal, Susan.
The Australian Robin Hood, but he didn't give to the poor. He was just a criminal. He just stole money. But he did in a sick outfit, so cool.
I'm not going to get into Ned Kelly. That's like the fucking... If you want to know more about Ned Kelly, listen to Murder in the Land of Oz. They do a great little mini-series on it. Anyway, yeah, that's basically all I had about Gryffindors being represented. They're sort of very, I want to say basic. They're presented in one way, basically, in the books.
If we need someone to do the right thing, let's bring in a Gryffindor. Gryffindors. Yeah. Save the day. Mm. Gryffindor.
10,000 points to Gryffindor.
We should probably talk a little bit about how Gryffindors are represented in, like, the fandom and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Because, Jem, you've sort of touched on this before. Gryffindor used to be, like, everyone who reads Harry Potter thinks they're in Gryffindor, and Gryffindor are the best, and they always win, and we all love Gryffindor. And there's sort of been this big backlash against it, where it's like, now we all love Hufflepuff and Slytherin and Ravenclaw, and I'm sick of all these Gryffindors.
Yeah. I've seen lots of things of people being like, oh, Hufflepuff, Ravenclaw, and Slytherin must unite to defeat the real enemy, Gryffindor, and all this sort of stuff. I'm like, ouch. Like, I mean, sure, they're dumbasses sometimes, but they're still our good friends. Like, they're still really good. Like, they don't deserve it. Like, just because, you know, they were the golden boy and they still are the golden boy. Yeah.
It's like real life Harry Potter. Like all the Slytherins hate Harry Potter in the book because he's this golden boy instead.
Yeah.
Snape hates him. And then, oh, what's happening in real life? The golden children, we don't like them, get them out of here.
Yeah.
Too basic.
I don't deserve it. Gryffindor attributes are really cool. Like, they're the courageous ones. They stand up for the little guy. Like, I just think, like, we all need to calm down a bit and realize that the greatest enemy is Severus Snape.
And arguably Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Those are the two we've got to take out. Oh, and Voldemort, I guess.
Yeah, he's done. Yeah, those are my thoughts on that. Do you have anything else to say about that?
No, that was pretty much all. I just wanted to bring it up to see if we had any thoughts, but I guess we just didn't. Just like, yeah, that sucks. All right, never mind.
That sucks. I think it's mostly just memes. I don't think people actually really hate Gryffindors. I think it's just...
Yeah. Like, I think it's nice no. little roasting.
medium well worth.
When we became adults, we became much more critical of, like, Dumbledore being like, and at the end of the year, Gryffindor wins. We're all like, that was actually bullshit.
I still think that's bullshit.
But at the time, you're like, yay, Harry won!
No, I've always felt a little bit that was bullshit. They could have just gotten special awards to the school, like it was established in the second book, rather than like... Because it was the actions of like four people, rather than...
Yeah, not the whole house.
Yeah, and Slytherin worked hard for that. Like, what the fuck?
It's very favouritism.
Yeah.
It's kind of bullshit that Slytherin students get... Not Slytherin. Fuck, I said Slytherin again!
Stop it!
It's kind of bullshit that Gryffindor students get house points for doing things that are brave and reckless because they're living up to their house traits.
Yeah.
But, like, Slytherin students don't get points for being manipulative and selfish, which are their house traits.
That's true.
What?
Draco got no points for using his resourcefulness and cunning to sneak after the trio and to expose them when they were getting that dragon out.
Like, Hufflepuff gets points for being loyal and good friends. Do Ravenclaws get points for being wise? I suppose they probably get good points if they're, like, smart and clever in class. But, like, what about... It just seems like nobody else really gets points for embodying their house traits the same way that Gryffindor like do. Gryffindor. They get points just for being brave and reckless and doing stupid shit and breaking the rules. But it's like, but you're Gryffindors, so it's kind of like, you do break the rules. You're doing it. Well done. 50 points.
That's probably just a Dumbledore bias, though.
I wonder if it would be good if there was a criteria for Hogwarts. It's like, if you achieve this throughout the year, you'll get points.
Mm.
If you do this, these are things you'll lose points.
I mean, to be fair, we're ragging them for giving points for recklessness, but really, the recklessness was only one aspect of what they actually did. It was things like defeat a mountain troll that could have killed many, many children, or find a solution to the big mystery that was killing and harming, not really, that was harming Muggleborns, like finding the basilisk. Like, sure, they had to do reckless things, but they also did save a lot of lives.
They literally saved people.
Like, so it's fair. I understand why, but
yeah.
I'm sure if a Slytherin student did the same as, like, Harry and Ron did in Chamber of Secrets, they would have been given the same treatment.
I guess.
Never know.
I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know. Let's go into
pros and cons. Pro, Gryffindors have bravery and courage. Cons, they're reckless. That's been established.
Yeah.
Pros, determination. Cons, stubbornness.
I'm just saying, like, yeah.
Pros, stand up for themselves and others. Cons, crooked anger.
Or con, like, won't stop standing up for themselves and others. Like, just sometimes you just have to let it go. Like, please just let it go. But Gryffindors will not.
Stubbornness comes in. No, I will not let this happen.
Pros, they've got hearts of gold. Cons, they can be competitive and sore losers.
Yes, definitely.
Pros, confidence. Cons, arrogance. They're kind of like two sides of a coin.
Yeah.
Pros, honourable. Cons, self-righteous. Pros, fun and daring. Cons, boastful and proud.
Mm-hmm.
Pros, they're all-rounders. Cons, kind of a dumbass sometimes.
Yeah.
Why are Gryffindors always dumbasses?
It's not you. Like, you're a very smart, capable person.
No,
I'm just thinking
I'm
of, like in general, the house. I think it's, like, people drag on Harry and Ron a lot for being dumbasses sometimes, but it's usually just because they get themselves into sticky situations because they're breaking the rules.
Mm.
And, like, that's seen as being a dumbass because you're not really thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Like, other houses are known for thinking and planning ahead, like Ravenclaw and Slytherin.
They're just acting and not thinking.
Yeah, they're acting first, thinking later.
Let us not forget that Gryffindor is the house of Hermione Granger.
Mm.
By no measure a dumbass.
No. Yeah, it's just sort of a stereotype about people who act first, think later. It's kind of a dumbass move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It ties in with the recklessness.
It does.
No, Gryffindors aren't stupid. They just sometimes don't think things through.
Did you guys have any personal opinions or controversial opinions about Gryffindors?
Yeah, no.
For me, I don't want to say that I don't like Gryffindors, but like we've been through all the other houses, and for me, in terms of like my personality traits, it goes Slytherin, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, Gryffindor. I just sort of have the least in common with this house.
Mm, that's the same with me, but I mean, doesn't mean that that makes Gryffindor bad because we're not good people. Sorry.
If anything, it's a commendation of Gryffindor House.
It is.
Dodged a bullet. You guys don't have Rhea and Cham.
Least likely to have us.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been lots of stuff like fans reacting to being sorted into Gryffindor and Pottermore and being like, what? That's just, what the fuck? That's not even closely remotely to me and stuff like that. I had a similar experience. Do you remember the Ilvermorny things? The Ilvermorny houses and how they were basically sort of four houses, which weren't meant to be exact replicas of the Hogwarts houses, but they kind of were in some ways.
Yeah.
And so there was like a house that was Gryffindorish, which was like the house for the daring, the brave. And I got sorted into that one and I was like so thrown.
Oh, yeah, I
was
like, I remember you talking about
I was
that.
Like, I don't even know what to think. Like, it's not me at all. I'm not a brave person.
Come into the Gryffindor. It's well, open. Sure.
Door's open. That Gryffindor is open. Yeah.
Door of potential.
That's all I got to say. Should we get into friend, lover, enemy?
Yeah, let's do that.
It's not a game.
Fuck, marry, kill. Friend, yeah. Lover, enemy.
Right, Hufflepuff.
Wed, bed, behead.
Love it. What's it like to have a Gryffindor as a friend? I wrote down that they're such a hype-up friend and super supportive, like they'll always be motivating you and stuff like that. They're so much fun. We go on great adventures. They're the athletic one, which I brought up. Only sporty friend I know. Yeah. Encourages you to try new things and put yourself out there. So caring and loving. They're a hugger. Mm. They love a good chat. Always make you laugh. Won't give up without a fight. Stubborn and sensitive about their personal opinions and feelings. Hate being left out of things. I don't know if that's like a Gryffindor thing or...
Yes.
Yeah? Relatable?
Well, I think nobody loves being left out, so it's kind of an everyone trait.
But I think it's especially prominent with Gryffindors, like they will despise it. Like, if I'm left out of something, I'm like, oh, but I get over it in like 2 seconds. But
Gryffindors, what is the meaning of it?
Yeah.
I've missed out on potential.
Missed out on a potential adventure. I wrote this down. This is something controversial. They can get embarrassed easily, maybe because they have the greatest potential for regret as the more reckless house acting on emotion. So this is my hot take. Because Gryffindors can be acting on feelings more than logic sometimes and acting before thinking, then they have the greatest potential for regret later on because they look back and they went, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or that was a bit silly of me to do. Mm. So they can get embarrassed easier by things happening to them or other people.
I think that's right, because you're putting your emotions there on the line.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of an example.
Oh, Hagrid, with his constant, I shouldn't have told you that, I shouldn't have told you that.
Yeah, told you that, yeah.
Yeah, Hagrid.
But, like, it's so easy to embarrass Belle. Like, we do it all the time on purpose sometimes.
Did it last night.
Yeah, we did it last night. we were sitting on the grass.
That's not related to that,
though. No, not really, but it is easy to embarrass you. I think I've done it, like, we did it last night, we were sitting on the ground. And the three of us, the Slytherin, Hufflepuff, and Ravenclaw, held hands in a circle and started singing the Genovian National Anthem from Princess Diaries. Belle was like, stop this.
Oh, but it's fun. It's fun. Just there was a sleeping child next to us. I think the issue might be that Gryffindors care a lot about what other people think of them.
Yeah, yeah, I get that impression.
Because they themselves care a lot about what they think of themselves as well. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
They don't want, I don't know.
Gryffindors want to be good and liked and respected in terms of their reputation. So, like, I often saw a lot of stuff being, like, online of talking about Gryffindors. Like, Gryffindors never get embarrassed. I'm like, I don't see it. Like, I think they definitely are prone to embarrassment because they have so much at stake in terms of their personal pride that, like, like, it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying it's the thing that I've noticed.
So many of the Gryffindor traits are tied into how you're perceived, like nobility and chivalry and bravery and daring. Like, obviously, all of those things are good for their own sake. Like, you can be brave and you can be chivalrous just for the sake of it, but it's also tied into how other people look at you and see you. And I just keep thinking of Harry, how, like, every fucking book, when he does something wrong and suddenly the whole school hates him and he's like, this is the worst punishment that could possibly be given to me, is losing the respect of my
Harry gets embarrassed constantly.
That's very true, yeah.
Yeah, and Ron gets embarrassed constantly a lot.
Hermione's
kind of resilient, but it's because Hermione does not give a fuck what people think of her for the most part.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think academically-wise, academically, she would care a lot. There's always that...
But socially, like, she's awkward.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like perception, like how people perceive you and see you, is really important to Gryffindors, because they do have those values that they want to be seen as brave or good.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Slytherins are like, oh, you must be the worst pirate I've ever heard of. It's like, but you have heard of me.
Yeah.
Slytherins don't care if they're infamous as long as they're known.
Yeah.
That's sort of the difference there.
But I think of Hermione, when her boggart is McGonagall telling her that she'd failed the test.
Mm.
Imagine Hermione in the middle of a class being handed an assignment, being like, you came last in this class. Every single person came ahead of you. Mm. Like, I cannot imagine how crushing that would be for her. She'd hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's just something that I've noticed.
Mm.
I also wrote down, Gryffindors will always stand up for themselves and for you. Having a Gryffindor friend means you've always got someone on your team. Like, it's wholesome.
Woo. Yes.
And then I wrote down, always in a rush, running late. I don't know what you think of this, but I just know Belle has a lot of stuff in her life all the time, because she's a good person that throws herself into a lot of things, and so she's always in a rush.
Being late, though, is definitely not something I've had an issue with for the past few years.
No, so. Yeah, you've... No.
I'm always on time.
You're always on time now. Yeah.
Good.
I can imagine a lot of Gryffindors are people that are always active and doing things, so it's like, oh... Like, if you're making plans for Gryffindor, it's like, oh, you know, I've got a spot open in 3 weeks because I'm doing charity here, and I'm working there, and I've got, like, a family thing here, and I'm doing, like, my sport team with my paramedic crew, like, next Thursday. And, like, they're always doing stuff, so they're always busy, but that's good.
That makes sense. My Gryffindor friend from high school, there was a running joke in our friend group that if we ever needed her to be somewhere on time, we would tell her that it started an hour earlier than it actually did. She was consistently late by like a solid hour.
Oh, bless. It's not a bad thing.
I guess it is a very Gryffindor thing. There's just
there's so a lot much going on. Yeah, they got so much going on.
And things distract you, like, oh, quest to complete. For the trio.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a Ravenclaw and Gryffindor sort of thing. Like, in my opinion, they're more prone to be busy. Got stuff going on.
Maybe it's also a reckless thing. Maybe they're like, so. I've got enough time.
Yeah.
That's
Mr. Incredible. I still got time.
That's 100% an issue I have. I think I have more time than I have.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's so classic.
Mr. Incredible on the way to his wedding. Stopping to save a cat, then stop a train, then stop Bon Voyage, and then he gets to the wedding and he's like sort of like 10 minutes late. Like,
Yeah, I've got time. I've still got time. Yeah, Gryffindors thinking they could get something that's going to take 10 minutes done in about 5. That feels Gryffindor to me.
Thinking they can survive a zombie apocalypse. They just got that confidence.
I love it.
I can do this. Yeah. I can do this. I will do this.
Do you have anything else for Gryffindors as friends?
I don't know if I have any Gryffindor friends.
No, yeah, you're very much surrounded by, like, INTJs.
Yeah, that's the thing. I surround myself with not Gryffindors. I think because I clash with them. I don't know.
There's not enough room for 2 Gryffindors in this town.
Gryffindors got a fight.
I also think it just might get a bit too wild, because Gryffindors feed off each other's energy.
Definitely.
So just scheming or, like, planning adventures, and it's like everyone's up for it, so there's no egging someone else on.
Yeah, there's no one to say, hold on, maybe we should think about this more and like hold back a bit. So we're just like, nah, let's go. Look at the trio in any book. It's like they get a hunch about Snape being the bad guy, and they're like, the whole year they're like, oh, I followed Snape after potions, or oh, I overheard Snape in the fucking teacher's lounge. It's like, god, just chill out.
Just chill. Oh, that's another thing that Gryffindors aren't. They're not chill.
No, they have no chill ever.
Everything just non-stop.
That's true. That's a con.
It's not necessarily a con, because sometimes it's real funny.
Yeah.
Most of my Gryffindor friend traits, most of them are things that you kind of said, like, everything's a competition, we can never back down, constantly getting dragged into things that I would not have been a part of. and like raging against unfairness whenever it's found. Mm. But something that I had, which I think you didn't really touch on, is kind of oblivious, but once they become aware of something, it is very important.
Yeah, that's definitely your friend. I can see that.
Yeah, that's her all over. A classic example is when we would have been, it would have been older than 15. It would have been like 16 or 17. And we're trying to get our first job that isn't like, you know, at Pizza Hut or a paper round, like a proper job where we have to go into an office and be people.
Hmm.
And somehow she had lived her entire life never realizing that there was any sort of sexism in the fashion industry. And then she had to go and buy clothes for work. And she's like, all the women's clothes have really low necklines and they're all see-through and there's no pockets and I can't get proper work clothes that I need to look professional without looking sloppy. And I'm like, how have you lived your entire life unaware of this? But it was all I heard about for months afterwards. She's like, it's not fair.
One thing that makes me think of Gryffindors when I'm thinking about your Gryffindor friend is a situation where I think you two were driving in a car park and some P-plater dickhead basically parked in the middle of the lane where you're driving to find car parks and parked there and got out of his car and left. And your Gryffindor friend was like, what an asshole. I'm going to go steal his P-plates. And she got out of the car and took his P-plates. That's the vibe.
Now it's illegal for him to drive home because he doesn't have his P-plates. Yeah, that's Gryffindor energy. But the part of that was where she had to psych herself up to do it. She's like, okay, we're going to go in and if we come out and he's still there, I'm going to steal the P-plates.
Because then she has to do it. Just said it.
Yeah. Setting herself a challenge. And then we came back and the car was still there. And she's like, I'm doing it. I'm taking the P-plates. Get in and start the car and then I'll get in once I've got the plate.
Fucking hell.
Like it was a heist.
Yeah. Gryffindor friends are good content. Yeah. They're lots of fun.
Yeah.
Always up for a challenge. Always up for adventure. Always motivating you.
Gryffindor friends are good.
What are they like as lovers? Do you reckon any of y'all have ever dated the Gryffindor?
As much as I want to keep the running joke that, like, you know, all of my past lovers are not brave or smart or loyal or hardworking or anything like that, ambitious. Forgot one of them. I actually do think I've dated Gryffindors.
Mm.
I'll talk about one in specific. So I had a Gryffindor girlfriend in high school.
Oh, yeah.
For a little while.
Obvious.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of her traits. She was so fierce. She just wouldn't let anything stop her at any time.
Mm.
And she was completely unashamed. Like, at the time, you know, we were two teenage lesbians in a very, very rural town, like in the middle of nowhere. And she was determined that whenever we were together in public, we were going to hold hands and we were going to be a couple and we were not going to let anyone look at us and think that we were friends.
Mm.
We were dating and we were in love and she would hear no argument against it. That was very Gryffindor. But she was very overbearing and impatient.
Yeah.
She always wanted things done her way, done like exactly how she wanted them done and was not willing to wait. But the other thing was that she wouldn't let anything be unsaid. Like if I was upset or angry and I didn't want to talk about it, that wasn't an option. We were going to talk about it. And she was not going to let it go until we talked about it.
That's you, Val. Welcome to Time to Expose Everyone.
Yeah. Those are my main traits for my Gryffindor lover.
Yeah, I had some similar
anyone
ones.
Anyone else got points?
I don't know if I've ever dated the Gryffindor. I might have when I was like a child. But
a child.
Gryffindor's like outdoorsy sort of dates. It's not so much like let's watch movies together. It's more like, let's go out and have fun. Like, let's go dancing. Let's go hiking. Let's go for a picnic.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. I've got to interrupt. Something that I have to say because it's so great. It's my favorite story to tell ever. My first date with this Gryffindor girl, we went to a nudist beach and had a picnic. And I'm not going to tell the full story because it's very inappropriate and at least one of our parents listened to this podcast, but it's a great story. And if you ever meet me in person, ask me to tell it.
DM her, listeners.
Oh my God.
They're super passionate people. They'll leave stuff at your place a lot. Like, they'll forget things. Like, I'm just sort of getting this vibe of like, I think I left my cardigan at your place, so I left my hair tie or something like that. No chill. We've discussed this. Gryffindors have an opinion about everything and they'll stand up for it. Always up for trying something new or an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Gryffindors love, like, they love a good rom-com. They love romantic gestures like serenades and they think that's real cute, I think. Is that something that you like?
Yeah.
Yes, I knew it.
I love romantic things.
They're huggers. I think Gryffindors have a certain kind of glamour around them. Like, Gryffindors are the spunky ones. They're the bad boys. They've got the jocks. I don't know. I got the feeling that if Gryffindors are, like, in a high school, like, movie, they're seen as, like, really dateable for a certain reason in a certain clique. It's like, oh, in the art clique, it's like, oh, you know, he's, like, the most arty dude. Like, he's... I can't think of an art stereotype. In the jock clique, it's like, oh, he's the captain of the football team. In the drama clique, it's like, oh, you know, like, he's doing car commercials in Japan or something like that. Yeah, that's the sort of... They're usually, like, seen as really iconic in the culture of the time.
Mm.
They will call you out for your bullshit.
Yeah.
Which is good. They're loyal and defensive of their friends, family, their lovers. They're inspiring with them. They give you speeches and encouragement to, like, motivate you. They inspire you in their actions and their lives. They're very emotional people, which is great because that's good in a relationship to have the emotions on the table in a Gryffindor perspective.
Yeah.
So, like you said, where you're a Slytherin dating a Gryffindor, Slytherins are things that, like, they keep it all inside in a little bottle and then one day they'll die. But that's not acceptable for the Gryffindor friend or lover. They have to be like, we've got to talk about this.
Open this bottle.
Open the bottle.
Let me take it.
Crack this bottle open.
Cracking open a cold one.
We're pouring this stuff on the floor. We're going to roll around it.
They can make silly or impulsive decisions sometimes, but that's fine because they've got hearts of gold. Yeah. They're doing it for the right reasons. They're funny and fun to be around, and you'll never be bored. You'll never be bored with a Slytherin lover or friend.
Slytherin?
Oh, fuck. I keep getting mixed up. You'll never be bored with a Gryffindor lover.
We're just, it's our natural Slytherin energy that's like, you don't want to talk about Gryffindors. Override, override.
I think it's just the way they
make
sound.
Make it about yourselves.
They sound similar, Slytherin, Gryffindor, and they've got some syllables.
Completely different words.
Weird.
But I think, yeah, Rhea's right.
Freudian slips. Yeah. So that's what I've got. Have you got anything, Belle? Do you think you've ever dated a Gryffindor?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
That's fair.
That's good.
They were too wild.
Yeah, it was too chaotic. Too Gryffindor's dating.
My one other point about Gryffindor lovers is I've known Gryffindor couples before, and oh my god, they're insufferable. They're the worst. Two Gryffindors is too many.
Oof.
Do you reckon they're having fun though?
Oh, they're having a good time.
Oh yeah, they're so in love and so overbearing. Just so loud. Gryffindors need to balance themselves with someone else.
I don't know. I see what you mean, but it's also like Gryffindor couples can be such a powerful power couple together. Like, I see, like, Michelle and Barack Obama as a Gryffindor couple.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I reckon they've got that energy.
Mm. Don't hang around them for too long. You get a bit tired.
They'll exhaust you. They'll wear you out.
Yeah. The Obamas. We know them so well. Old family friends.
Oh yeah, they're great. I wish I knew the Obamas. So lastly, what are Gryffindors like?
Everyone does.
What are Gryffindors like as enemies? This is the best. This was so much fun for me to write because I finally got to write it. They will actually fight you physically. I can definitely see that. Out of all the houses, if you have a Gryffindor enemy, they're the most likely to be like, all right, meet me in the fucking ring. Let's go. Let's
throw it out.
Take it outside. Like Mr. Darcy does in every Bridget Jones movie.
Step the fuck up, Kyle. What do you say, dude?
In every, like, Bridget Jones movie when, like, Colin Firth just goes up to Hugh Grant and he's like, all right, let's go outside. They literally fight. Yeah. That's Gryffindor energy.
God, he's great.
Hermione just planting one on Draco's face.
Yes.
That's true. Talk shit, get hit. That's Gryffindor.
Talk shit, get hit. That's it. Gryffindors will stand up to you all the time if they're your enemy. Like, you see that in the books of fucking Harry and Ron. Whenever Draco says anything, they are literally on their feet about to go eat him. Or they're always, like, backlashing at him, like, shut up, Malfoy, you're a piece of shit, like, all the time.
Yeah. You can never just, like, ignore them. Never. It's always got to be a retaliation.
They'll yell at you. They'll fight you. They're likely to have friends who will hate you as well. Like, even if a friend doesn't know you that well, because the Gryffindor galvanizes the friend, you'll be like, this person's a fucking cunt. Or you'll have a group of people.
Yeah. It's their team going. Sports.
They rile everything up.
They're competitive and will try to beat you at anything that you, like, are good at or enjoying. So you see that in the Quidditch pitch all the time, like, in the books.
It sounds terrible. We'll try and beat you at anything you're enjoying. What's this? No. what you meant.
Not necessarily, like, Gryffindors will try and beat you at anything that you're enjoying, but if the Gryffindor's part of that too, like, if it's a sport thing, if, like, Gryffindor team is against a team of enemies that they don't like, they'll try and beat them always, all the time.
Oh, yeah.
If they're not on that team, then they'll just try and beat them in other areas. And you'll know if a Gryffindor hates you because they'll just tell you. They'll be like, I hate you. That's the vibe. Yeah.
No need for subtlety in games with the Gryffindor.
No, I don't like passive aggression. You. Just aggression.
Just aggression. That's what I had for Gryffindor enemies. Did anyone else have any thoughts? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think that forwardness comes from, like, if they let that anger build up, they just can't keep it in. It's just got to come out. If someone's annoying them, there's only so much a Gryffindor can take before, yeah, they just
I remember several moments down high school where you just...
Like, oh, yeah, if there was ever someone in our friend group that wasn't really a friend and I knew it, I was like, this person does not, they're not here for us. I just got feelings. I wouldn't... bring it up.
Yeah.
The person would end up knowing that I didn't really like them.
Yeah.
And then, our friend group didn't really like them either.
Yeah.
Did I turn everyone against them? No. I was just vocal.
Belle's the mastermind behind the group.
Someone's bad egg.
You always knew. Yeah. You knew the vibes. I just remember one time I showed up at science class and I was crying for some reason. I don't remember why I was crying. It was just a bad day or something like that. Something bad happened to me. Aww. I was really upset, and the teacher tried to sort of, like, bring it up and expose it to the class that I was crying, and you just turned to him and went, none of your business, leave her alone. Like,
I forgot that.
Yeah, you instantly were like, it's none of your business to a teacher.
Was that science?
A teacher that you were, like, kind of, like, you liked and you wanted the respect of because you were doing science, like, it was one of your favorite subjects. And you were instantly just, like, on my side, just like, fuck this teacher.
Oh, wow. I love that you remember that.
I remember a lot of things you've done for me. Always got my back. Oh,
that's so cute. Also, I love that you're willing to fight a teacher.
Just attacked a teacher. That was good. It's good content, because I was sitting at the back of class and no one could really see me except for the teacher, and he decided to try and expose me to the entire class by being like, oh, why are you crying, Jem? And you just went off.
Oh, that's just...
Dick move, teacher.
Grand mad gears.
That's what I had written down about Gryffindors, and then I've just got some examples from pop culture in real life, but if you guys had anything else you want to say about Gryffindors.
All I really had for a Gryffindor enemy is, like, if you picture any typical, like, high school bully, like, shoving nerds in lockers, that's got Gryffindor energy to me. That's jock energy.
That's
or,
the vibe.
Fuck,
yeah.
What's that awful singing show? Glee. In Glee, anyone who's, like, throwing a big milkshake onto the nerds, like, that's like
Yeah, I feel like Gryffindor's made up nerds, like the word.
They do.
Like, such a nerd.
Nerd alert.
Oh, yeah, that's an unfortunate side that comes with it.
Yeah, any sort of maybe, like, Back to the Future, like, being like, oh, you wrote McFly and knock him on the head. Like, that's bad Gryffindor
like
energy.
Buffet energy.
Yeah.
I can see where the dumbass side comes in. It's just that jock.
Jock energy.
Yeah.
Because they're so loud and so vocal in what they're thinking. It's like, I don't like this person. They're wrong. They shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
But also, when you said, like, meet me in the rink, all I can think of is, like, so say you got into an argument with someone at Macca's and they're like, let's go into the car park and fight.
Macca's car park.
This is what it's like in Australia. Like, fighting in Macca's car park. But also, they're the sort of person who's like, okay, let's fight, and then they show up in a truck with, like, all their cousins and they've got bats. That feels Gryffindor to me.
They'll, like, show up to the fight, they'll take their shirt off and, like, throw it to the side.
It's all visual. You psych them out before you even begin.
Posturing.
What was it? Like, was it you and Sarah? No, it was Sarah and Josh. like last night. We're doing that sibling game where you hold your hands out and slap.
Oh, slapping it.
Yeah. Was that you and Sarah that started it?
Oh, yeah. No, we started doing a hand puppy.
The game of hitting your friends.
Yeah, where it's like you hold your like hands in a prayer position, and if you flinch, you get slapped.
Although along those same lines, my brother and I used to play this game when we were younger, where we'd like hit each other's fists. It was just this wild idea we got from Knuckles. The movie or something. Yeah, and we're like the first one to draw blood. We stopped because we were like, my fists hurt. But yeah, that's just a more hardcore version of that.
Oh, I just remembered something so Gryffindor that we used to do. Okay, so our listeners won't know this, but you guys both went to the same high school as me. Do you remember the upper tier of classrooms? And they had the big barriers so you didn't fall to your death from the second story.
Yeah.
And they were painted dark blue.
Yeah.
So in summer, we used to go there and we used to press the inside of our arms against the searing hot metal and hold them there and see who could stand the terrible burning pain for the longest. And this was a game that was invented by my Gryffindor friend.
Oh, God. So dumb.
That was a fun way to pass the time while we waited for the teacher to show up to class.
That just makes me think of Divergent, and to get into Dauntless, you've got to do crazy shit that just hurts.
You've got to, like, jump off a building onto, like,
jump onto a moving train.
It makes me think of stories that you told me about you and your brothers when you were younger, like, one where your brother, like, walked into your room, your little brother, and was like, hey, Belle, come on out, I've got something to show you. And you walk out into the hallway and there's a mattress and they like crash tackle you and fart on you or something.
Oh, that's people I know that are Gryffindors.
Your brothers.
My brother.
God, are you Jimmy? What's happening?
Oh, well, they're a weird mix. I'd say my middle brother is a Slytherin.
Oh yeah, Slytherin or Ravenclaw.
But like when he hangs around me, he turns into I bring out the qualities in people.
You do, yeah. Like, the other night,
your Gryffindor energy overrides the friend group.
Like when
that happened the other night, we were driving into our home, and you started singing. What was the song?
By Body Rockers.
You moved. No. And that started everyone on just an energy hype. It was like we all had mass hysteria. Like
we were doing like parkour in the car park.
And they're like, we gotta go run. We ran into the darkness.
She ran into a dark park.
And walked around. We were gonna call tonight, but just you singing that song started the energy.
Well, when we went for a walk in a tornado warning.
Oh, yeah. Time. Yeah, it was a storm warning. It was me, Sarah, and Belle.
I wanted donuts.
Yeah, it was a storm warning, like a critical storm warning. And Belle's like, let's go out for a walk. And so she convinced the two of us, Hufflepuff and a Slytherin, to go out into the storm warning in the rain.
It was literally a tornado warning.
It was terrifying. Yeah. And you're like, oh, we got to this metal bridge. And you're like, oh, day to run across it.
That was massive strikes of lightning.
Yeah, there was lightning in the sky and stuff. And I did run across it because I always follow a dare. I don't stand down to a dare. I think that's a Slytherin thing too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Slytherin's got to prove himself.
That is true. I see that too. Yeah.
But Hufflepuff didn't do it.
That makes sense. That's the midnight duel from the first Harry Potter book. Let's go to the trophy room and fight.
So yeah, that's all I got to say. Do you guys have anything else you want to say?
Nah, just the fictional characters.
Okay. So the list I had was Peter Pevensey from Narnia.
Yeah, I remember you always saying you hated him.
I hate him.
He's got other traits too, I feel.
What other traits?
No, it's very Gryffindor. I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking.
Did you have Lucy from Narnia? I thought she was a Gryffindor.
I saw that. Hufflepuff. No, I also can see that because she's adventurous.
I think that she has more hope. Like, the reason that she is always believing in Narnia and trying to go there is more out of hope and, like, wonder than I want to go fight and have an adventure and explore. Yeah. She wants to keep believing.
I can definitely see the Hufflepuff energy. Like, she makes friends with Mr. Tumnus and she has this healing power and she's all cute and good. But just imagine Harry Potter, age 11, finds a magic world in the back of his cupboard. Like, I can't see it as different energy from what Luzi has, where he's just like, I'm going to go fuck here and have friends and this is awesome. And it's just got real Gryffindor vibes to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a good combination of the two.
Yeah, I can see it either way. I also had Steve Rogers, Captain America, basically.
Yep.
Classic Gryffindor. Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones. Jon Snow from Game of Thrones as well. I had Lisa Simpson from The Simpsons. I think she's a Gryffindor. Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think she's like a Hermione, where people would think she's a Ravenclaw, but no, she's stubborn.
She's such a Hermione.
She's got heart. She's always going for what's good.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Elizabeth Bennet from Pride and Prejudice.
Yes. I'm pretty sure I had her too.
Yeah. Eowyn from Lord of the Rings, along with Aragorn from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to think of other characters that could be Gryffindors. Maybe Gimli, but I'm not quite sure. I had the Holy Trinity in Disney Princesses of Moana, Mulan, and Merida. Those Gryffindors.
Mulan.
Oh, best girls.
Best girls.
Strong.
Strong girls. Katara from Avatar The Last Airbender, alongside Zuko as Gryffindors. I can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tris Prior from Divergent.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Brought up Divergent a lot.
Yeah, there she is.
Leslie Knope. Oh, we decided Leslie Knope was Hufflepuff last episode, didn't we?
Yeah. I think she's a Hufflepuff. There's a strong argument for Gryffindor, though, so I can see it.
Yeah. Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
Especially Princess Leia. Especially Luke Skywalker as well. Yeah. Both of them.
Both of them. Darth Vader as well. I had for Gryffindor. I think he's a Gryffindor. Because I don't think he was ever trying to get power. He was just sort of, like, following orders and very angry. I don't know. That's sort of the vibe I got.
He's definitely got that reckless, brave energy.
Yeah, Kylo Ren seems to want to get power, but he also just seems to be doing it because he thinks that that's what he should be doing. I'm not quite sure about Kylo Ren.
There's a lot of confliction in both of those characters. I feel like there's this weird fight between...
good and evil.
Yeah.
In both of them.
Yep, that's pretty much the premise of Star Wars.
That's true.
Struggle between the light and the dark.
I just got Gryffindor vibes from both of them because they're both, like, they act on emotion a lot. If they're going out for power, it's not for, like, because they want control. It's more for glory. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting their characters wrong.
I'm seeing what you're saying. Yeah. Finally, like, a good example of a bad Gryffindor.
I definitely think Darth Vader is more of a Gryffindor than Kylo Ren is, but that's just my...
Well, the whole, not to get too deep into Star Wars, but the whole dark side of the Force is all about emotion and passion and not being patient.
You're right. That's why I'm thinking this.
Yeah, it's wildness and recklessness and doing whatever you want because it's what you want to do and you're the most powerful and you've got the Force and... blah, blah, blah. So there is a lot of Gryffindor energy in that, and I can see it definitely in Darth Vader and in Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
But you're right, Kylo's got a little bit more of the manipulative, I want to rule the First Order, blah, 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 especially in The Last Jedi.
Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes! Queen! I love her!
Beautiful.
She's the best.
I also had John Watson from Sherlock BBC.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got Gryffindor energy.
Yeah, that's
awesome. When he's all, like, abandoning his cane and he just, like, he gets off and just having friends that take him on adventures, basically.
Yeah.
I had Scout from To Kill a Mockingbird because she's so brave and courageous and just...
Oh, that takes me back.
She has such a vivid imagination and adventure and she has such strong empathy for the people around her and just... I love her. I love Scout.
Yeah.
Yeah. You haven't read To Kill a Mockingbird, Rhea, and I hate you for it.
Yep, I know. Every time
To
Kill a Mockingbird gets mentioned, you get angry at me.
Do you have any characters, Belle, or any
I do. People? I had Jo March from Little Women.
Oh, you love Little Women?
I do love Little Women. That sounds really bad. Jo, she's kind of epitome of Gryffindor. She's very headstrong and... craves that adventure and stands up for what she believes in. Also, another one I had, which is a bit controversial, is the Doctor. I know oftentimes he gets picked as Ravenclaw.
Yeah,
but
I can
because
see
he regenerates, he changes a little bit with each one.
He does.
And I think I had a look around and I've seen there is a lot of different thoughts on this. In particular, number 9.
Eccleston. I was about to say.
Yeah. He's very Gryffindor because
he
wants to fight things.
He does.
All the time.
But then he chooses. I remember the episode I think about the most is when he chooses to not destroy the Daleks.
Yeah.
And he's like, I choose to be a coward at any time. But he really means he's choosing the right thing.
Yeah. He's got that obsession with doing good and wanting to rid the world of bad things.
But he also has that anger from all the pain that's happened in his life.
And then you get to number 10 and he becomes more Slytherin. He becomes more like mixed between Slytherin and Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
But
and then 11 goes back to sort of Gryffindor vibe.
I think 10's more Ravenclaw and 11's more Slytherin.
Oh, yeah, yes. 11's Slytherin. He's an asshole.
He's very like, woo, genocide. Let's do it.
Let's do it, baby. I know the law. Yeah, 9 I can see is Gryffindor a lot. Yeah. I like that. I like that interpretation.
I think 9's definitely Gryffindor.
Then the others I had the same as you, pretty much. Yeah.
What about you, Rhea?
Well, you went through a lot of my characters. I kind of struggled with Gryffindor characters.
Just look at the main character.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably a Gryffindor.
It's a bit redundant to be like, you know, Captain America? Think of any movie with any character that's a bit like Captain America, and that's Gryffindor. So you went through a lot of mine. I also had...
Mr. Incredible.
Yeah, Mr. Incredible.
I still got time.
He's someone we brought up. I had Batman because I love Batman so much.
Batman is, he's such a Gryffindor because he's so stubborn. He's like, I'm going to fight all crime forever.
Yeah.
And he's so angry, but he just like.
He's so angry.
What is therapy?
Spider-Man would fit into.
I think he's a Hufflepuff, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's like, come on, Spider-Man. And he does it for the little guy. He does it for the people. He's good-hearted.
A friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
He works so hard all the time.
Yeah.
He wears himself out because he's working so hard, I think.
Aww.
And they line up the cranes for him in Amazing Spider-Man. Oh, my heart.
Yeah, that moment that had me actually crying. Literally crying in the cinema.
But I don't know, he's one of those that could go into three of the houses quite strongly, but I always put him in Hufflepuff in my mind.
I think for Batman, people, you could argue Ravenclaw or Slytherin, especially with the world's greatest detective angle, but for me it's the absolute uncompromising, there is a right way to do things and it's my way and that's what we're going to do and I will not kill anyone, even though that causes so many problems. That's Gryffindor for me. And I also had Ripley from the Alien series, who's so brave, and I love her.
Excellent. Yeah. Good choice. She's so brave and ready to fight anyone.
Yes. And Sarah Connor from Terminator, who has identical energy, but also with a strong protective streak.
Oh, strong big mom energy.
Although I suppose Ripley has that in Aliens.
Was it last night? My scarf had very Sarah Connor vibes.
Yeah, you were wearing a scarf. I'm like, that's very Sarah Connor of you. I can't explain it, listeners.
Sarah Connor, fashion icon.
I think it was because the same color as the shirt that she wears in Terminator 1. I was like, yeah, Sarah Connor. Yeah, she has that big mom and love it.
Yeah, Ripley and Sarah Connor have like really similar energy, and I'm only realizing that now as I say it out loud.
Yeah.
They're both great, and I love them.
I love them so much. Icons.
And the only other character I had, this might be a bit more niche, but Magnus Burnside's from The Adventure Zone, because I just finished listening to The Adventure Zone and I've been crying for 3 straight days.
I haven't listened to this, so I don't know.
Not joking. I keep fucking tearing up. Anyway, that's all. I'm having a rough time, guys. But that's all. I just have a lot of emotions right now.
Okay. I just got a lot of feelings.
Right, Gryffindor.
She's converting us.
It's her energy. She's taking over the podcast.
Quick, end it. I've been Jem, and I love my Gryffindor son. No, I love my Gryffindor best friend, sister, role model.
Aww. I've been Belle, and I've loved coming on here and seeing all the different opinions on Gryffindor.
I've been Rhea, and I have the least Gryffindor energy, but I respect the hell out of that Gryffindor energy.
Nice.
Belle, do you have anything that you want to plug at the end of the show?
Josh and dogs. Yeah.
Check them out, listeners.
Check them out.
Google dogs and then go to images.
Don't Google Josh, though. You'll get unwanted. No.
Other lesser Josh's
podcast.
Yeah. Josh's podcast, Mighty Motion Picture Rangers. As part of That's Not Canon Productions. All right, I'll wrap it up there.
Okay.
Or shall we say, see ya, bye, cool.
Ciao.
Just like at the end of every episode. See ya.
Thanks for listening to Podcast 9 3/4. This show is written and edited by Rhea and Jem. You can send us an email at 9 3/4podcast@gmail.com. Find us on Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram at Podcast 9 3/4. Or talk to us separately on Twitter. Rhea is @SmashMouthRhea and Jem is @Jem_JustJem. Please feel free to send theories or ask questions and bombard us with so many messages that we go mad and run away to a hut on a rock in the sea just to avoid them. Our guest this episode was Jem's friend Belle. Thanks for coming on the show, Belle. You are great and we both love you. Our logo art is by Winged Corgi. Find more of her art at wingedcorgi.tumblr.com. This week's intro music was Leaving Hogwarts by John Williams, and our outro music was Hedwig's Theme by John Williams. You'll hear from us again in 2 weeks' time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.